teach me, Lord, to understand all my duty, all the beauty of your love.
Amen.
Thank you, Bob.
My brain was rolling, and the guy behind me said, "Psst, don't turn sideways."
Oh, my goodness. Tomorrow would have been? Don, tomorrow would have been? Tomorrow would have been. All right, good. Don't forget, Don. You want us to sing to you, brother? Want to sing to you? We'll sing to you this morning. Yeah, happy anniversary. Would have been,
Don,
it's
what, 58?
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary, Don and Trish. Happy anniversary to you. Come on, give me a little. You know, those are the things that just bring a tear to your eye. I, being down at the convention this week, and there's such marvelous music that is sung, but trust me, folks, it is music that is sung with a purpose. God has so richly blessed not only us here at Mount Calvary, but as you all know, I love music. I love what music does. I see people that so many times they are burdened, they are challenged, they have things going on in their lives, they have times that, and you know how it is, and I know Brother Don this morning with a tear in his eye thinking about tomorrow and that anniversary, and I know that so many of you, how much music means to you in your life, how many times you'll hear a song whether it's played on a CD, on a radio like that, and that song brings you and takes you back to a place of great comfort. A place of laughter. And don't forget that anniversary coming up in November. But last year, I know we had a little celebration downstairs, and Terry went down, took the keyboard, and he played an old classic from the, was that from the 40s there, Jan?
Excuse me, we have another anniversary.
Who did I miss?
Your right-hand man up there.
Who?
And his wife.
Oh, excuse me. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Terry and Jennifer. Happy anniversary to you. Oh. I don't. Music and how it affects you and how people can be changed by a song. Before the sermon, I have to share with you that Mark Trammell on Wednesday, and for us it was a very interesting. We sang on Tuesday and we finished, and we were so tickled away that, yeah, so proud of the guys, and we were so well received down there. And Brother Matt, when he took off and hit those high notes, and people were just they were clapping, and we got a little standing ovation. We felt good when we came off there. Then on Wednesday, we're down at the National Quartet Convention where all these singers are gathered together celebrating 12 years ago how this country bonded together during a time that I've never seen so many churches and so many of God's people just step to the forefront because so many people were challenged by 9/11. And you remember back so vividly all the things that we saw on television and at a time where, in my lifetime, I'd never known us to be attacked here in our home soil. And it put things into perspective. And I believe that's what church does. I believe that's what music can do if you focus your music and your talent on what God wants you to do. Because within that music, you don't get in these denominational discussions. You simply say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You go back to those old hymns of In the Garden and go back to It Is Well. So many times, Brother Rich, when he was ready to preach or share with us, Terry and I would go into that song, It Is Well, It Is Well, It Is Well With My Soul, because that song meant so much to him. So many times I think back to my childhood, how my mother would sing in the car as we were traveling. Songs that would just thrill your heart. And we in the background and sitting in the back seat there, no, we would not interrupt for the fear of our lives. But what precious times, and I know that you have those memories and you have those things. And then on that stage on Wednesday night, Brother Mark Trammell came out, and he will be here on October the 2nd. That's 1 month before the anniversary of Jane and John. And they will be here on that Thursday night. And third, whatever that Thursday night is, you come on that second, third. Thank you. They will be here, and they sang a song called The Cross Is My Statue of Liberty. In New York Harbor stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky, and all who see her know she stands for liberty for you and me. And then the chorus goes, I'm so proud to be called an American. Then the second chorus goes, I am so proud to be called a Christian. That song was done by the Couriers back about 1975. In 1976, I was up at Valley Forge Christian College, and the Couriers come to sing. And I was invited to sing a solo before the Couriers came on. Boy, was I nervous that day. But these gentlemen, after meeting them, and what wonderful men of God, and what a wonderful expression of Christian love and patriotism that God gave them through this song. It was the number one song in the land out there. The Cross Is My Statue of Liberty. Wednesday night, Mark Trammell, he invited them to come on stage, the original Couriers, and they got up and sang, The Cross Is My Statue of Liberty. Everybody stood within that great auditorium. I love it down there, because where were we singing, fellas? We were singing in Freedom Hall. To stand in Freedom Hall on September the 11th, and lift our voices in praise to a God that has kept his hand upon this country. And you know that now with all the things that we hear within the news, how much we need God's hand upon this country. I believe that. And I saw people who were simply lifted together in one mind, one spirit, one accord, just all praising God for the freedoms that we have here and never to take them lightly. They finished that song, and the Couriers were, before they start singing, they gave them little plaques, appreciation for all the wonderful things that they'd done for Southern gospel music and so many lives that have been touched. And boy, you had that feeling of just the pride and being an American, pride to have so many people who are willing to speak up and say, praise God for the country that I live in. I'm tired of people being afraid to lift up the name of Jesus. If you believe it, it's time that you spoke what you believe. No more time for just being cowering around and worried and embarrassed about it. Now, you can be embarrassed for one of us. You can be embarrassed about me, the way we sing, or Don or Bob. But we well embarrass you, trust me. We're well embarrassed. You can come in, folks, and visit. You just say, oh, just forgive them all. But I'll tell you one thing. The purpose that we are here for today will empower us through God's Holy Spirit. It will give us that boldness inside that you can just stand up and say, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I haven't done everything right in my life. I continue not to do things right. I struggle with life as it is presented before me. I struggle with those things that I just can't seem to get myself to want to do. But I'll tell you one thing I know, that I serve a master who is full of strength and confidence, because he was one who loved me when I was unlovable and loved me enough to send his son to die upon a cross for me. He has allowed me to live in a country that is the greatest country that's ever been upon the face of this earth. I believe it. I believe it. And I saw people who were just standing and singing and sharing from their hearts what God has done for us. It leads us directly into our scripture.
Pastor,
yes, ma'am.
I'd like to give my offering.
Right now? Okay. Anybody have anything else that they
Charlie, just think of that as kind of a commercial in your sermon.
I do. And now keep those cards and letters. Oh my goodness, the freedom we have in God's house, it is precious. It is precious to have folks that you love, that you know where they're coming from, that we don't have to do it according to the bulletin every Sunday. We don't have to get tied up into... I heard one time that Moody was going to one of the great events of the fall time, and he attended a church that he was looking forward to joining, and he brought a whole pew full of boys and girls right off the street. And during the service, those boys and girls, you know, they acted up. They were not been used to being in church. They made noise and all like that. And afterwards, when he went to this very aristocratic church that he was in and asked about his joining the church, the elders stopped and said, "Well, brother, you better pray for a month about your decision," because they were a little upset about the disruption that it caused. And a month later, he came back. And the elders asked him, said, "Well, what did God tell you?" And he said that God told him, "Don't worry. Don't worry. I myself have been trying to get in that church for 25 years. I want something that I can feel. I want a place that I can go to, that I believe that the name of Jesus Christ is lifted up. I want to go to a place where we can celebrate an anniversary that's coming up in November, don't forget it. And also I want a place that we can shed a tear about an anniversary that would have taken place tomorrow. This fella here is only sitting here because Tricia told him, I am going to that little church. It is up to you whether you go with me or not. That is a true story. First time I met this man, called me on the phone. He said, you make a hospital visit? And I walked in on a Sunday afternoon. I was wearing my tan suit. And his daughter looked at me and thought I was a doctor. Can you believe that? And the first words, well, they don't give me 3 months to live. You want to start a conversation like that with an individual? You realize how good God has been to each and all of us. You realize that these things that we read within God's Word about how precious they are, because they are things that you can stand upon. They are things that will take you through the valley, that will lift you up when you just don't see any other way. This is the end of the sermon. But you have not so learned Christ. I'm dropping all the way down to the 20th verse in the 4th chapter. And I'm just going to finish with this. It's time. And I don't know, even through the laughter, through the kidding, through, I have felt God within His house today, and I thank Him for that. But this phrase kind of sticks with me, but you have not so learned Christ. And that's an odd way to start a verse here in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Heavenly Father, add a blessing to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. What does that scripture mean? It's very simple. If you have heard, if you have been taught, it should make a change in your and my life. The things that I struggled about when I was just a early newborn, babe in Christ, at some point I must simply allow more of His guidance within my life. I have heard, I have been taught, and it will make a change. It will take people that are simply just ordinary people, and God, through His Holy Spirit, will do extraordinary things. I see it. I never thought in my wildest dreams we'd go down there and sing and so proud of the fellas. I never thought they'd send us a fellow like Matt walk in. And I tell you, he looks pretty sharp today. He's got that blue tie that is fresh off the rack at Louisville, Kentucky. If I bought the suit he tried to talk me into buying, you'd run me out of the church. We didn't do that. Everywhere we went down there, we felt loved. Every one of those groups that you come and hear on these Friday nights and you get them on those big stages, boy, they are the all-stars of the all-stars in that business. But I tell you one thing, when they see us, they're just warm and compassionate, genuine in their love, not only for us, but you people here at Mount Calvary. I believe that hearing the Word, being taught the Word, and it's kind of appropriate that although we're praying for today, Miss Ruby is not here because, friends, God has sent us a teacher. I love the way that she is able to allow people to grow in Christ, to inspire those to be more into the Word, because there is nothing that's going to change your life like you opening this book and getting into it, taking the principles that I hear and I learn and placing them within my life. But oh, the benefits. Oh, the benefits. What is it said one time that the pay down here may not be that good, but the long-term benefits of serving him are out of this world. Out of this world. I serve a God who is rich in love, who is rich in compassion. I serve a God that is still in the business of changing lives, and I see it and I feel it. We finished, we sang, and Terry and Jennifer and Brother Lou and Barbara, they flew back on Thursday. In between them flying back and Brother Claude making it in, lightning hit the tower over at BWI. That's the airport that we were flying into. Matt and I were heading out the next day. We're hearing the reports and we're going, well, we don't know what airport we're flying into. And the more I started to listen to this and started to hear and kind of process what was going on, I was just so amazed about how God had still kept his hand of mercy upon the fellows who were traveling and flying. And I thought about how wonderfully precious the things that God has done for us. And as I turned around for the last time, walking out of Louisville, out of that convention center and all the wonderful opportunities and things that we've had to share down there, some of the songs we've heard that have touched our hearts, and triumphant the first time when they got up and they sang a little song called He Loves Me, He Loves Me, He Loves Me. Matt sings it here. There is no place that I'd rather be than in God's house and with his people. There are no people that I'd rather have to call upon at times of trouble and strife within my life than God's people. And I simply challenge you, as God has challenged me, to allow the changes that he is making within our lives be shown to a world that is lost and looking, so that they will be drawn unto him. When we finish, I want you to give old Don a big hug over. He'll appreciate it. Move away from Bob, because he has this tendency to step in front of him and think he's going to get a hug too. So hug Bob first, and then, Don first, and then Bob. And most of all, don't forget that anniversary coming up in November. It is precious, the freedom that we experience in God's house. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house. We have lifted up the name of Jesus. We have sung songs to the Master. Heavenly Father, you have touched our lives. We thank you for the warmth we felt here today. We thank you for the wonderful reception returning back into God's house, because, Heavenly Father, this is the place that you have given us to come together, be of one mind, one spirit and accord. This is a place where we bear our burdens, we share our laughter, and we cry together, we laugh together, and we lift each other up in your name. So, Heavenly Father, continue on just blessing the way that only you can bless. Continue on drawing us closer unto you. Continue allowing us to have the changes within our lives so we can boldly proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Give us safe traveling mercies, and be your will. Bring us back again to sing praises unto your name. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people say amen.